Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. Welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am once again absolutely thrilled that we're spending this time together. And what we have in store for you today is going to be really amazing. My friend and Bible mentor Jeff Verdorn is in studio with his handsome son Jacob. I'm not sure Jacob will talk, but maybe he will. And we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Thursday, the day before Good Friday. And what happened, and Jeff is going to bring some absolutely stunning, compelling, and riveting biblical knowledge to this show, and I can't wait. So I'm going to go right to break right now, and in 60 seconds, we're going to start. So get out some notepad and get out something to write with, because I promise you're going to want to jot some notes. And this we're going to move swiftly through the material because there's so much to cover. But we're going to be going through it methodically, and you're going to know exactly where this will lead you, and you can come to your own biblical conclusion at the end of the hour. We'll be right back.
There was something about the crucifixion that made every witness either step toward it or away from it. This is Max Lucado. And today, 2,000 years later, the same is true. It is the watershed, the continental divide. And you're either on one side or the other. A choice is demanded. No fence sitting permitted. The cross, in its absurd splendor, doesn't allow that. So, on which side are you? This is Max Lucado.
How do we stay rooted and build up in Christ, as Colossians 2 encourages? Faith Radio has a resource that can help you strengthen your faith, trust in God's promises, and rest in His presence. It's the Faith Radio prayer devotional email that will come to your inbox each Monday to encourage you with a quote to reflect on and a prayer to begin the week. Sign up for the prayer devotional email today at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
Of course, that's Jeff Verdorn's walk-up music. Jeff's a regular guest on my show, friend, Bible mentor, and a guy I just like hanging out with. He's brought his son Jacob into the studio. So, Jeff, Jacob, welcome.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Jacob.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, nice to have you here, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and I always like saying hi to your folks.
Yes.
So
I think they're listening. They're down
nice.
In Arizona still.
And hey to Julie and the other kids. So, you know, just trying to start off on the right foot. All right, Jeff.
Perfect.
I remember a discussion we had quite a while ago where you were thinking about something very specific in high school that troubled you. What was that?
So I've actually, as I've taught this over the years, I've actually found out that a lot of people have had an issue with this. But I do. I remember all the way back in high school, and people would read, and it would become Easter time, and it'd be Good Friday, and Easter was coming, Resurrection Day on Sunday was coming. But there was always this passage in Scripture about just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man, Jesus, will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And I would sit there and I'd go, Friday, okay, Friday, it's Good Friday, Crucifixion Day. And I'd go, Saturday, Sunday, wait a minute here.
Aren't we missing a third night?
Aren't we missing a third day? There's actually another passage in John chapter 2 where Jesus, if you remember, he says, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now, if I told you that today's Thursday, right? If I told you in 3 days I will call you,
okay,
what day would you assume? You'd count out today's Thursday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Saturday, Sunday.
I figured by Sunday you'd call.
I'd call you on Sunday, right?
Better.
In 3 days. Well, Jesus said, in 3 days, I will raise it again. So those two seem to indicate that, well, wait a minute here. We kind of we're missing a day, it seems to me, in those two passages. You start, if you look at a week, there are 7 days in a week, right? But if I say that I'm going to call you in 7 days, once again, you'd go out one more day. Now, I've seen a lot of theologians and commentators say, well, see, you get 3 days by saying Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it is 3 days inclusive, but it's not in 3 days. You see the distinction?
What about the three nights part too, Jeff?
Well, and then the second passage that we just talked about is very specific. It doesn't just say 3 days. It says 3 days and three nights. From Friday to Sunday, you only have two evenings, two nights, and really you only have 2 days because, as we'll see, Jesus was already resurrected before first light on the first day of the week. So you can't count a part of the day of Sunday. So if Friday was the day, you'd have Friday day, Saturday day, Friday night, Saturday night, and you'd have 2 days and two nights. We need another day.
Okay. So this is 16, 17-year-old Jeff in high school without a lot of biblical knowledge having these thoughts.
Right, saying, cool. Well, you know, that just doesn't fit. But, you know, I'm no expert, so what is it for me to question those kind of things? And tradition is a powerful thing. So we have celebrated a Friday crucifixion and Good Friday for hundreds of years. And I think what's at this point kind of defined, why do we think this started that way? Well, there's a passage in Scripture, if you remember, where Joseph of Arimathea asked for Jesus' body in Luke 23 and says, we need to get the body down from the cross and prepare it because the Sabbath is coming. So Sabbath starts at sundown. So the regular weekly Sabbath in Israel is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. That's the weekly Sabbath. So if you read that passage kind of just on its own, you would assume that, oh, hey, they need to get Jesus' body down prior to the Sabbath, which starts on Friday at sundown. So therefore, the crucifixion must be on Friday.
Wasn't there a special Sabbath that year?
There was a special Sabbath that year, and that's one of the keys to understanding the true timing. So number two, let's now look at another fact.
Is that jumping ahead, by the way?
No, that's perfect. Okay. That is.
I don't want to make you mad.
That's called a tease in the radio business.
All right.
So that's the tease of one of the keys to this is two Sabbath days in a row. We're going to get to that in a second. So now let's go back to Leviticus for a second, because this week in Israel would have been the Passover week. So what were the instructions that God gave to Israel for this Passover week? Well, it's actually very specific. And Leviticus says that on the 10th day of Nisan, so now, okay, we're going to have to define some of our calendar dates. We're going to talk about some of the Hebrew calendar dates. That is, this month in the Hebrew calendar would be the first month of the year, and that is the month of Nisan. And so we, in our dates, think of it as April, but the Hebrew in the first century would have said the month of Nisan. So on the 10th day of Nisan, according to Exodus 12, they were to select the lamb that was going to be slain. So that would be the 10th of Nisan. Remember that date. Leviticus goes on to say, on the 14th of Nisan, 4 days later, you were to slaughter the lamb or kill the lamb, which was then to be prepared, roasted, and prepared for the Passover meal. That would be that evening of the Nisan 15th, all right? So that was an annual festival that Israel was to conduct, according to the instructions of Scripture, of the law, all based on that first Passover. So let's go back one more step and go back to the first Passover. You have Moses in Egypt, the 9 plagues come, the 10th plague is about to come, it's the death angel that's coming, and God says to Israel, take a lamb, kill the lamb, take the blood, put it on your doorpost, and the death angel will pass over your house, all right?
Mm-hmm.
After they leave Israel, that's when God gives them instructions that year after year after year, you are to follow that pattern and celebrate that event with these instructions for the Passover. And they did so for 1,500 years up until the time of Christ. All right. Now, a third aspect. How do we land on this week in the appropriate year? All right. So here is one of the most amazing prophecies in all of Scripture. And it comes to us from Daniel 9, and this is the Daniel's prophecy of sevens. A seven is just a 7-year period. And I'm just going to read one verse to you, and it's a little bit complicated. It would take a couple hours to kind of fully unpack all this, but I'm going to get to the simple point of what it actually points to. And it says this: no one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, remember Daniel's getting this prophecy and he's in Babylon, right? He's in captivity, the 70-year captivity in Babylon, which is about to come to an end. And he gets this second prophecy for this second judgment that's going to come upon Israel. And he says, no one understood. From the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. Now, who do you suppose the anointed one is? Jesus, right? There will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. Well, okay, so this is kind of cryptic. The bottom line is that God is telling Daniel, from this point of this decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, until the Messiah, the anointed one, comes, there will be this period of exactly 483 years. Wow.
Pretty specific.
Get a load of this. It gets even more specific. When you actually look at the day calculations and you convert this to days, so if I said something was going to happen 2 years from now, that would be the same as saying it's going to happen 365 times 2 days, which is, I wish I had that answer in my head right now, mm-hmm. but I don't. 365 times 2 is... whatever, 700 and whatever. Thank you, guys, sitting here. All right.
Yeah.
700 help, whatever days. It's the same thing, right? When we calculate this to days, we know the day. Now, this decree is actually in Scripture. In Nehemiah chapter 2 is this decree from the king to Nehemiah to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And we know the day of it. It's actually in April of 445 BC. We fast forward the appropriate number of days. And guess what day we come to? We come to April 6th, 32 AD. What happened on that Sunday, April 6th, 32 AD? Well, that just happens to be the day that Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, being proclaimed for the first time by all of Israel, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lamb has been selected, all right? So this Daniel 9 prophecy, literally 500 years before it happens, tells us the exact timing and the exact day that your Messiah would come. An amazing prophecy.
Wow.
By the way, just to wrap up that Daniel 9 prophecy for the listeners, there is the last part of that prophecy, by the way, is kind of sets the basis for a future end time tribulation period of 7 years. That's the last seven of the Daniel 9 prophecy. All right, so we've established 32 AD as the week.
I think we do have to take a short one here. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Can you hit pause?
Absolutely.
Okay, Jeff Fedorin's in studio. We're talking about the last week of, well, we're talking about Holy Week and what went on this day. You're going to be surprised when you hear the end of this. It's 17 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. My friend Jeff Fedorin's in studio. We're talking about the last week, the Holy Week, and what's going on historically and biblically on this day. This day is going to be a big, mm-hmm. big, enormous surprise, I think, for many, including me when I first heard it. But Jeff's in studio. His son Jacob is with, which I just love. And Jeff, where do we pick up?
Well, let's start walking through the days now, the events that are described in the Gospels, because one of the things that prompted me to make this chart as we walk through this thing is somebody asked
chart?
Me this, sorry, chart.
You said chart?
I said chart.
Uh-oh. That's going to be work for me.
Jeff makes charts?
Jeff makes charts.
I do. I make a lot of charts, so I love my charts. I document stuff. So this needs one, actually. So there's a lot of information here. But somebody asked me a question about the final week a few years ago, and it's like I didn't know the answer to it. So it's like I better start looking at all the descriptions in the Gospels that have time references in them and reconcile all of them and see where they point. And this is the result. So are you ready to walk through it?
All set.
All right. So we start in John chapter 12, and it says of Saturday, so this is the day before Palm Sunday, Scripture says it was 6 days before the Passover. So that's John 12:1. Well, 6 days before the Passover, we now can establish that count off 6 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Passover is going to be eaten on Thursday evening, which is Nisan the 15th on the Jewish calendar. So this is Nisan 9th. Passover is eaten on the 15th of Nisan. So we just established that. It then goes on to say the next day would be then Palm Sunday. So we know that's Sunday, so that's Nisan the 10th. So Sunday, the Nisan the 10th. On that day, like we just talked about, that was the day prophesied in Daniel 9 that almost 500 years later, Jesus would come to Israel. And sure enough, just as God said precisely, by the way, that calculation that I did briefly is outlined in detail in a book called The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson. Was one of the first books that kind of put a lot of those pieces together, and it's a good description of that if you want to know. So Palm Sunday, Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey, which, by the way, was prophesied also in Scripture. So Zechariah 9 says that your king would be coming to you on a donkey. Jesus then clears the temple in Matthew 21, and then Scripture says it was late. He goes off to Bethany, and he left and leaves for Bethany where he spends the night. Now, where's Bethany? So we're in, if you think of geography here for a minute, we have Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount area. You then have the valley, this valley, the Kidron Valley to the east, which would rise up to the Mount of Olives. And then just past the Mount of Olives would be Bethany. Now, that becomes important in a minute because we're going to see him repeat that pattern every evening this entire week. He leaves Jerusalem, goes over the Mount of Olives, and to Bethany. All right? The next day then would be Monday. He comes into Jerusalem. He curses the fig tree, according to Mark 11, if you remember that. And on reaching Jerusalem, Mark 11:15 says he clears the temple. Well, wait a minute. He just cleared the temple the day before, according to the other gospel, Matthew. And now Mark, it's clear that he clears it again. So actually, Jesus clears the temple 2 days in a row. It's like they didn't get the message the first day, and he does it all over again in Mark on the second day. Mark 11 says that it was evening. He goes out of the city back to Bethany. We have Monday. Now, in the morning, Mark 11:21, Peter sees the fig tree that was withered. So this would be Tuesday morning now. He arrives in Jerusalem again, and this is where we have the parables and the teaching in Mark 12 through 13 and Matthew 22 to 23, and this would be where all of those teachings occur. He then leaves the temple again, and Matthew 24:1, as they're leaving the temple, this is what's known as the Olivet Discourse. He says to his disciples, "Do you see all these things?" And what he's referring to is the temple and the buildings and all these great structures. And he gives another amazing prophecy. "I tell you the truth, not one of these stones will be left upon another." Now, if you're a disciple, and this temple would be this center of Jewish life, and it would have been huge, made of huge stone. But sure enough, just as Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, verse 1, in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus came, conquered Jerusalem, and destroyed the temple, knocking every single stone off the other and threw it off the Temple Mount. Now, if you go to Israel today, you will still see those stones, which are in heaps and piles of rubble, basically, at the base of the Temple Mount area, and those are the stones that Jesus prophesied would be thrown off, one stone off another. We then get to the Olivet Discourse. This is Matthew 24 and 25. So as he leaves Jerusalem and is on the Mount of Olives, he gives this teaching of Matthew 24 and then retreats. Now, Scripture says, Matthew 26:2, that the Passover is 2 days away. Well, let's see if that holds onto our weekly timeline here. So we're on Nisan 12th on Tuesday. We're on the 13th of Nisan. We're in Tuesday evening. So one day, 2 day, we get to Nisan 15th, and that's the Passover. So that fits. This is when Jesus that evening is anointed at Bethany, and Judas Iscariot then goes to the chief priests to do his deed, to betray Jesus. That's Tuesday evening. We then come to Wednesday. We don't have really any detailed descriptions of what happens during the day on Wednesday. And now we get to Wednesday evening. So on Wednesday evening is this meal, this Last Supper. All right, now stay with me here. On the first, this is described very specifically in Matthew, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Matthew 26:17, we have this Last Supper. John says it this way. It was before the Passover feast, the evening meal. This is not the Passover meal that was served. So here's one of the first aha moments here. The Last Supper is not the Passover meal. And I'll show you that very specifically in a second. What was served at the Last Supper? Do you remember Jesus makes a new command? And what two components does he use to describe this new covenant? He says, here's my body in this bread that I break for you, mm-hmm. and here's my blood in the wine mm-hmm. that is spilt for you, mm-hmm. shed for you. So at the Last Supper, we see bread and wine. What is served at the Passover? Lamb. Lamb is the central component of the Passover meal, as described in Leviticus. They're to roast the lamb, cook it, eat it, don't leave any till morning, right? Mm-hmm. It's lamb that is served at the Passover. At the Last Supper, we do not see any lamb. We only see bread and wine. Besides that, in John 13:29, Judas, if we recall, dips his... Jesus said, who's going to betray me? John asked the question, who's going to betray? And Jesus says, whoever dips his hand in the cup after me. Well, who does that? Judas does that. And then Jesus tells him, go do what you're going to do and do it quickly. And it says in Scripture that his disciples thought that he was leaving to go buy what was needed for the feast. Well, if the Last Supper was the Passover feast, why in the world would the disciples be thinking that he's going to buy what's needed for the feast? And the answer is that the Passover meal wasn't going to be eaten until the next evening. The evening of the Last Supper is the preparation day, which is the day prior to the Passover feast. Jesus says then this in Luke 22, Jesus desired to eat this Passover with them, but says he will not eat it again until the kingdom comes. People describe that as saying, well, wait a minute, doesn't that mean he's eating the Passover? No, it just means that he says, I'm not going to eat this Passover with you. I won't eat it again until I come a second time. And it's described actually in Ezekiel that we will actually eat the Passover with Jesus in the millennial kingdom. Think about that one for a second. Of sharing in a Passover with Christ when he returns in his millennial kingdom. After the Last Supper, they then depart again from Jerusalem. They go out to the Mount of Olives, as he's done every other evening, but this time he stops in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And we all know that prayer, that this is where he says to God, if it's possible, Lord, take this cup from me. But he says that famous line, but not my will, but your will be done. And that's the evening that he is then arrested.
All right, Jeff, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I think we're going to need just to have a 60-second recap, and then we'll go ahead with part two of this fascinating discussion with Jeff Verdorn. We have another chart. I hate to bring that up because that creates a lot of work for me. But if you would like to get your hands on this chart, email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll get it out to you. Welcome back to the show. What a fascinating hour we're having with Jeff Verdorn, my Bible friend and mentor. And Jeff, so the usual depiction is that in John 13:29, it says, since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to go buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. So all the disciples that night at that meal thought he was going out to buy food for the Last Supper, the Passover meal.
Last Supper.
Yes.
They thought he was leaving to go buy what was needed for the Passover feast, which would be the next evening. So clearly the Last Supper cannot be the Passover. And there's one more verse we're going to get to in just a minute that we add to that and put those two together, and I think it's crystal clear.
All right.
All right, so Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's at the base of the Mount of Olives. He's brought before Caiaphas in Matthew 26. That's when Peter then denies Jesus three times. And then early the next morning, Jesus is handed over to Pilate, Matthew 27, verse 2. And it says this in John 18, verse 28 of that event. It says, the Jews did not enter the palace because they wanted to be clean to be able to eat the Passover, meaning the Passover meal hadn't happened yet. They had just had the Last Supper the night before. Jesus was arrested that next morning. They bring him to Pilate, and the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and so on, that arrested him, didn't go into Pilate's palace because they wanted to be clean to eat the Passover. You combine the Judas passage with this passage, I think it's crystal clear that the Last Supper was not the Passover meal according to Scripture. Pilate then sends Jesus over to Herod, Luke 23:7, and now we get to the crucifixion. All right? The date, now on this Thursday, is Nisan the 14th. Now, at the start of the show, I mentioned in Leviticus, what did Israel do with their lambs? They selected their lamb on the 10th of Nisan, that was Sunday, and they kill their lambs on the 14th of Nisan. That would be Thursday, this day. Now, what I didn't say is that Leviticus also tells Israel the time of day that they're supposed to kill this lamb, and it would be late in the afternoon. Well, guess when Jesus was hanging on the cross? Scripture clearly says that from the 6th to the 9th hour is when Jesus hung on the cross. The 6th to the 9th hour is basically around 12 or 1 o'clock to 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So Jesus died, gave up his last breath in the 9th hour, late in the afternoon, on Thursday. So what does that mean? Think about this. At the same time that all of Israel was sacrificing their lambs for the annual Passover, late in the day on Nisan the 14th, Jesus was hanging on the cross as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and dies at that precise moment.
Which was going to be the ultimate substitution and replacement going forward.
Wow. Yes.
Wow, I was right.
You know, coincidence? No, I don't think so. Right? And that is why Paul can say, in 1 Corinthians 5:7, that Jesus is called our Passover Lamb. He fulfilled the Passover in his death and was crucified at that exact moment. So now we're at the day. We're on Thursday late in the afternoon, and what happens? Jesus dies on the cross, and that is when they come to grab the body. Joseph asks for the body of Jesus, Matthew 27, 57, and Luke 23, 54. And Luke specifically says it was the day before the day before the Sabbath. That is where most people then assume that it was Friday. But now here's what they forget. Thursday night was then the Passover meal. That evening on Nisan the 15th, remember, the evening starts the next day on the Hebrew calendar. So we've now switched from sundown, from the 14th to the 15th of Nisan. And this is the day that the Passover meal is eaten. And that day, according to Leviticus, was to be a sacred assembly, a high holy day in which you do no work, a Sabbath. So the Passover meal day, Nisan the 15th, is a Sabbath as well. It's like a Christmas vacation, right? You don't do any work on Christmas Day. It's the same thing. Passover day was a Sabbath. So now, what does that mean? It means that sundown Thursday was the start of a Sabbath, as well as sundown Friday on this week in 32 AD. Why is that important? Because Joseph had to get the body down before sundown so he would be clean to eat the Passover meal that night. Hmm. What does it also mean? It also means that there was two Sabbaths in a row. So from sundown Thursday to sundown Friday, there was a Sabbath. And from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday was a Sabbath. So they didn't finish preparing the body, which is why the women prepared spices and went to the tomb. When? Before first light on the first day of the week, Sunday morning. Why did they wait so long? Because it was the first opportunity they had that wasn't a Sabbath where they could go and prepare the body. So the fact that there was two Sabbaths in a row, one on Nisan 15th, Thursday night to Friday night, and one on Nisan 16th, the regular weekly Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, meant that there was two Sabbaths.
Now, Jeff, can I jump in here a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. This extra Sabbath day, is this something that's part of the Jewish calendar every year?
Yes.
And it just so happened that year it coincided back-to-back?
Correct.
2 days in a row?
Correct.
So was that always the case, that it always happened 2 days in a row?
No. So it's kind of like Christmas. You never know what day of the week Christmas is going to fall on,
okay,
right? It falls on a different day of the week every day. So, too, with the Passover, the start of the Passover, which would happen on Nisan the 15th, would fall on a different day of the week every single year. In 32 A.D., it just so happened to fall on the Thursday right before the regular Sabbath on the Friday.
Hmm.
Okay?
And we don't ever think about that one, do we?
We don't.
How would we find out about that? Would it be in Scripture?
Well, here's one more little clue. Oh, I love this one. This one's so cool. So in Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, if you read it out of your Bible or most English translations, it will say this: after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, is then it describes the women coming to the tomb and so on. But it says singular, after the Sabbath. That Greek word for Sabbath is actually plural. But most English Bibles don't translate it as plural because it really doesn't make sense in most translators' minds. But actually, it is. And I've confirmed this with actually two different Greek experts. This is, no, that word is actually plural. And if you go to, what's that big, Logos software?
Mm-hmm.
They'll actually have a text note on there that says that word is actually plural. So now get a load of this. Matthew 28:1 says, after the Sabbaths, plural, meaning the two Sabbaths, on the first day of the week, confirming that these two Sabbaths are there. So the sacred assembly and the description of that day being a holy Sabbath day is Leviticus 23:7. So now we've established that there's two Sabbaths in a row. So now let's get to the description of Jesus, who gives this powerful prophecy about his death and burial and resurrection. And he says, oh, Israel, you're always looking for miracles. But he basically says, I'm not going to do any more miracles for you. Jesus really stops doing miracles later on in his life, in his ministry, this 3.5-year ministry. And at the end, he finally says, Israel, I'm going to give you one more sign. Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus has to go away to Hades, right, in the heart of the earth. Remember our conversation from a couple weeks ago. We talked about Hades,
yeah, sure,
and
did,
that the righteous dead went to one side, the unrighteous dead went to the other. That's in the heart of the earth. Well, that's where Jesus went for 3 days and 3 nights. So let's count it off. From Thursday afternoon, we have Thursday day, Friday day, and Saturday day. We don't have Sunday day because, remember, he was resurrected prior to the daylight on Sunday. We then have Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. We have 3 days and 3 nights. And when he said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days, Thursday, Friday, one, Saturday, two, Sunday, three. And it all fits. And, of course, we know from Scripture that Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. That's why we gather on Resurrection Sunday, the church does, until this very day, to remember that resurrection, that day. So that's after this tomb was empty. Thank goodness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we're talking the details of the chronology of this week. Let's pause for just a second and remember that Christ did indeed rise from the dead. And Paul makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians 15, without the resurrection of the dead, your faith is futile. If there's no resurrection of the dead, we are still dead in our trespasses and sins, and there would be no Christianity. Christianity hinges on this Sunday, this coming Sunday, when Christ conquered death once for all. Scripture says the grave could not hold him. Death could not contain him, and he has the power over death and Hades, and he conquered death and rose again. Amen.
And Jeff, it would be critical then that Jesus would be resurrected prior to daylight.
Yes. So we didn't mention this verse, but John, looking for it here, John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed. Do you see, just a commentary here, do you see how every little bit of Scripture is meaningful? That here you are reading this and you say, oh, before dawn, and maybe not think that much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it holds significance, a lot of significance. And when you start piecing all of the time frame pieces together, you start painting this picture. One more timing of this 3 days thing. Do you remember the story of Jesus appearing to the two men on the road to Emmaus?
Yes.
In Luke 24, Jesus appears to these two men. He actually hides his appearance to them, and he's talking with them, and they're explaining about this character, this Jesus that has come. And he says, well, I haven't actually heard of it. And they said, well, who are you? Where have you been? It kind of gives us this clue that everybody in Jerusalem would have heard about the events of this week, that this guy who claimed to be the Messiah from Nazareth had come and was crucified, dead and buried. And they said this. So they described him. They said, by the way, he also said that he would raise on the third day. And now they say that it's the third day since all this took place, and they still hadn't seen Jesus yet. And then suddenly, do you remember what happens? Their eyes were open. They see and they recognize that this was Jesus, and he explains to them why all of this had to happen as described in the law and Moses and the prophets. That conversation, by the way, is not recorded in Luke. That would be a great conversation to have had recorded, because Jesus himself is explaining how he fulfills all of the Old Testament prophecies about himself. And then he disappears and he goes and appears to the disciples. But it's once again, it's been 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days from the crucifixion of Jesus. So look, we put all these pieces together, and I think the biblical evidence is clear. It absolutely points to a Thursday crucifixion instead of a Friday crucifixion. Now, just so everybody knows, this is not some new, you know, kind of teaching or anything. There's lots of theologians and commentators and so on over the years that have concluded exactly the same thing. You probably have many listeners who have looked at this over the years in their own Bible and concluded this on their own. But like I said at the beginning, so what, you know, why do we still celebrate a Good Friday in churches? Well, it's because tradition dies hard, and this is the way we've been practicing it for hundreds and hundreds of years as a church.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, Jeff, I've got some questions. We will take a short break, and this chart is so well laid out. It's so interesting to go through, and we're going to talk about some of the terminology even on this chart. And if you want a copy of it, email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Call it the final week, and I'll get it out to you. Take a short break. Be right back. Welcome back to the show. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. It's been a fast hour. It's been an enjoyable hour. It's been an eye-opening hour. And if you love digging into God's Word, this has been a great hour as we look at the final week of the life of Jesus. And we are looking at this beautiful chart that's been laid out. Jeff Verdorn is my guest in studio. And if you want a copy of this, email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. I'll shoot it out to you. So, Jeff, let's go over just to do kind of a comprehensive look at the chart. You've got some terms in here that I'm sure will confuse some or many, even words like Nissan.
Hmm.
Why do we always talk about that? What about Toyotas?
I had a Nissan. I loved it.
Yeah, okay.
It was one of my first cars.
Well,
but we're talking about months of the Hebrew calendar. So the Hebrews have a different calendar than we do. So what I tried to do on my chart, you know, the other thing that's hard here is that the Hebrew day does not line up with our day.
Okay.
Our day starts at midnight and goes to the next midnight. The Hebrew day starts at sundown, like we were talking about for the Sabbath, right?
Okay.
The Sabbath day started which is the Saturday, actually starts sundown Friday and goes to sundown Saturday. So that's their Saturday, right? So their days don't line up with my days. So if you can see on my chart, I've got the Hebrew days, and then right below that, I've got our days. And you can see that they don't line up, but I have the day and night and day and night and day and night. So, in fact, I asked this to Jacob in the car beforehand. Why do you think the Hebrew day starts at sundown and then goes to the next sundown? Any ideas? Question? Open?
I don't. Jacob, you want to answer that?
What did we talk about?
Well, we talked about Genesis.
That's right. So at Genesis, what was the pattern of each day? It says there was evening and there was morning the first day. There was evening and morning the second day. And that's probably why from Genesis chapter 1 that Hebrews still count time, evening first and then the day second. So I've got the Hebrew dates and then our dates down below. So when you're talking like for Thursday is Nisan 14. So high level, let's just review real quick. So the lamb is selected on Sunday, Nisan the 10th. That's the day that Jesus rides in on a donkey. According to Leviticus, the lamb was to be sacrificed 4 days later. That's Nisan 14th. By the way, that's Thursday. That's Thursday. So on the 14th of Nisan, the lamb would have been taken and sacrificed. Jesus, as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, would have been on the cross at the exact same time that Israel was sacrificing their lambs for the Passover meal.
Okay, Jeff, can I just say,
yeah,
doesn't that just sound like it makes a ton of sense on top of it all? Isn't it just unbelievably cool to think as everyone is sacrificing their animal to pay for their sins, that the Lamb of God is being slain on the cross? It's a total game changer.
It's almost like God planned it that way.
I think you're right, Jacob.
And like we talked about earlier, when did he plan it this way? Well, before the foundation of the world, yes. But remember, he gave these instructions to Israel 1,500 years before.
Okay, say that again. Make that really clear.
The Exodus was around 1450 B.C., which means that 1,500 years before Christ came and died on a cross on that Thursday, Nisan 14th, God was giving a pattern to Israel about sacrifices and the death angel passing over, which they were to celebrate year after year after year. For 1,500 years, Israel should have recognized this pattern and recognized. That's why John the Baptist, when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," that only makes sense when you understand the context of the Passover lamb. And here Jesus is dying on the cross late in the afternoon at twilight on Nisan the 14th, right as Israel is sacrificing their lambs, which then they would eat the lamb that evening on the 15th, because now the next day started, so we're on Nisan the 15th on the Hebrew calendar, which is that high holy Sabbath, special Sabbath day, and Jesus would be in the tomb. So yeah, it all fits together. I'm personally convinced. Many of others have been convinced. Somebody asked me in my class, okay, so I taught this on my Sunday class at Grace Church on Sunday, and someone asked me, well, you know, what difference does it make? Well, good question. What difference does it make? So I said this. I said, number one, do we want to understand Scripture accurately? And the answer is, of course we do. We want to be that workman who correctly handles the word of truth. So that's reason number one. We absolutely want to handle Scripture properly when I want to perfect understanding of what it actually means. We also see, like Jacob said, it's almost like God planned it that way. You also have to understand that God wrote the Bible. He wrote Leviticus. He wrote Matthew. He wrote John. He wrote Luke. The Spirit, Scripture, all Scripture is God-breathed. Men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we look at the Bible, and yes, it's 66 books written by 40-some-odd authors over 1,500 years, but it's one voice. It's one author, and that's God. And when you see these connections and how Leviticus links with Matthew and this all fits together, you go, wow, only God could have done that. So I think it makes God and the Word that much more trustworthy. And that much more we can understand that it is absolutely reliable because all the pieces fit together. And then I think finally it makes God big. He knows the future. And he set this up long ago and put the pieces in place knowing exactly how it was all going to play out. And I just think it makes God that much bigger and so worthy of our trust and our praise.
Wow. All right. This is, do you feel like, Jeff, we're just as we're up against tradition mostly, that there's been a lack of biblical literacy? Or what would opposing voices say to you on this?
I think tradition, number one. I had someone else on Sunday ask me, well, should we not then celebrate Good Friday? And I said, yeah, go into your church and demand that. No, that's not what I said. Mm-hmm. I said, of course. Does it really, truly matter? No, what is the main point of our celebration this entire week? And that is to remember what Christ has done. That's why he said at that last summer, whenever you take this bread and drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. So whether you celebrate the crucifixion on Good Friday or whether or not you celebrate it on Good Thursday, how about that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's the main thing we are doing is remembering Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection. By the way, Maundy Thursday, I asked my class again, who knows what Maundy Thursday was? It's interesting. You talk about tradition.
Yeah.
60, 70 people in this class. Not one person. Now, these are all biblically literate, mature Christians. Not one of them knew what Maundy Thursday was. Isn't that interesting? Maundy Thursday is basically Command Thursday. This is in remembrance of the Last Supper. So under my timeline, that Maundy Thursday would become Maundy Wednesday. The Last Supper was on Wednesday evening. His command to do this in remembrance of me would be on Wednesday evening. The crucifixion would be on Thursday evening. He would then spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth and rise again on Sunday.
I wonder how many people think that the Last Supper was also the Passover feast.
Well, that's obviously a part of this. I don't want to pick on Bill O'Reilly, but he wrote a book called Killing Jesus, and his last scene of his movie was the Last Supper, in which he then, at the end of the movie, he shows this lamb coming out being served at the Last Supper. So, yeah, there's a lot of people who think that those two are the same meal, and the Last Supper is not the Passover. By the way, this someone asked me this question about the Seder meal. So Jews still celebrate the Passover to this day. And I don't know if you've ever done a Seder or sat in on a Seder and had someone do it, the Passover meal with the bitter herbs mm-hmm. and so on. And it all points to Christ, by the way. If you got someone really good doing it, they'll tell you how all this points to Christ. But what's missing from the Seder today? And in fact, Jews do not eat lamb at their Passover meals to this day. And that is and why no lamb? The Bible says to serve the roasted lamb and leave none until morning. That's because there's another command in Deuteronomy that says the lamb was to be sacrificed at the temple, and they don't have any temple standing today. So most people to this day don't serve, in accordance with that command, don't serve lamb at their Passover meal or at their Seder meal. So that's why there's no lamb today typically served.
Jeff, it's been an amazing hour. I've loved it, and I'm going to have to listen to this again, and I'm going to have to go through the chart again and again. If you would like a copy of Jeff's chart that he's done a beautiful job constructing this last week, all loaded with scripture, you're going to want to get a hold of this one. It's bill@myfaithradio.com. It's an electronic copy. I don't think we'll certainly send one out to you if you don't have electronic way of receiving it. If you don't have a smartphone or a computer, we'll put a hard copy in the mail, but we'd love to just email it to you. We can do that for you. I'll probably get it done tonight for you. I've got my night cut out for me because we have lots and lots and lots of people that have asked for it. But bill@myfaithradio.com, just in the subject line, you can put final week chart or Jeff's final week chart, whatever, and I'll get it off to you. That wraps up the hour. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jacob, for coming in.
Thanks, Bill.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
To you and your fams. And we'll take a little break, and I'll be delighted to have John Bloom in studio with me coming up in the next hour. This is a great day for me. I got to be honest. I'm just loving this. So we'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.